All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Traveling alone comes with the job when you're a journalist. You get used to late nights on the road, remote destinations, and a steady diet of gas station coffee and fast food. And after years of hopping from one location to the next, I'd say I was pretty comfortable being out there on my own. I knew how to read a map, plan routes, and keep my wits about me. But there are some things you can't really prepare for, no matter how well-traveled you are. I was driving back from a small-town interview on a stretch of highway, nothing but fields and mountains for miles. I'd been covering a series of features on remote towns and the people who lived there. After a long day of interviews, all I wanted was to get to my hotel, take a shower, and crash. The highway was practically deserted, which was typical for that time of night, so I turned up my music, settled back in my seat, and focused on the road ahead. The first time I noticed the semi-truck was when I looked in my rearview mirror and saw those massive headlights glaring back at me. They were so bright that for a second, I thought maybe I'd missed a car merging behind me. I adjusted my mirrors and slowed down a bit, expecting the truck to pass. But it didn't. Instead, it matched my speed, staying just a few feet behind. I checked my speedometer. I was going just above the speed limit, enough that any driver in a hurry would be impatient enough to pass. But this truck stayed close, so close that its lights filled my entire rearview mirror, washing everything in harsh white light. I tried not to think much of it at first. Maybe the driver didn't see me, maybe he was new to the route and was driving a bit more cautiously. I sped up a little, putting more distance between us, and for a moment, it seemed like that was the end of it. But as soon as I settled back into my lane, I noticed the truck speeding up, closing the gap between us again. This time, it was even closer than before. The headlights were practically blinding, making it hard to see anything in my mirrors. I could feel the pressure mounting, my hands gripping the wheel a little tighter as I tried to shake the uneasy feeling creeping up on me. I took a deep breath, reminding myself to stay calm. Maybe the driver was just impatient. Maybe he'd pass on one of the straight stretches up ahead. But that wasn't what happened. Instead, he kept that close distance, riding my bumper. I slowed down again, tapping the brakes lightly, hoping he'd take the hint and back off. But the truck stayed put, its headlights unwavering. I felt boxed in by the darkness and those blinding lights that filled every mirror. My heart started to race, a cold sweat prickling at the back of my neck. I decided to try speeding up, hoping that putting more distance between us might give me some breathing room. I pushed the pedal down, watching the speedometer climb as I pulled away from the truck. For a few seconds, I thought I'd finally lost him. But then, the truck's engine roared and it surged forward, closing the gap with a relentless determination. Something told me this wasn't just about being in a hurry. It felt intentional, like the driver was doing this on purpose, trying to intimidate me. And it was working. I mean, it's quite intimidating to have a truck that size stuck to your bumper in the middle of the night, any sudden movement, and it could run over me without even feeling it. I was as nervous as I could get. Every time I sped up, he'd speed up. When I slowed down, he'd slow down. It was like he was playing a twisted game, and I was stuck as the unwilling participant. I scanned the road ahead, looking for an exit, a gas station, anything that might offer some kind of escape. But there was nothing but empty highway stretching out in front of me, mile after mile of nothingness. The isolation made it worse. I had no idea how far the next town was or how long I'd be stuck in this nightmare. Finally, I spotted a small exit sign up ahead, a little country road that branched off to the right. I didn't even think twice. I took the exit, hoping he'd just keep going straight. As I turned off, I kept an eye on my mirrors, watching to see what the truck would do. For a moment, it looked like he was going to follow, his headlights hovering at the edge of the exit ramp. But then, at the last second, he swerved back onto the highway, roaring past in a blur of lights and metal. I pulled over to the side of the road, my hands shaking as I finally let out the breath I'd been holding. The only sound was my own heartbeat pounding in my ears. I watched the truck's taillights disappear down the highway, fading into the darkness until they were gone. I sat there for a while, staring at the empty road, trying to make sense of what just happened. I'd been on plenty of late-night drives, but...
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.
I'd never felt that kind of fear, that sense of being hunted. It was like the driver had zeroed in on me, intent on making my drive as terrifying as possible. Once I'd calmed down a bit, I pulled out my phone and looked up the nearest police station. I knew it might sound ridiculous, but something about that encounter had been too intense to ignore. I needed to report it, even if they thought I was overreacting. When I got to the police station, I recounted the whole story to the officer on duty, from the moment I'd noticed the truck to the terrifying game of cat and mouse on the highway. He listened patiently, nodding as I explained how the truck had followed my every move, mirroring my speed and refusing to back off. I could tell he was taking me seriously, which was a relief. The officer promised they'd look into it and said they'd try to track down the truck based on the description I'd given. A few days later, I received a call from the police department. They'd found the truck and its driver. Apparently, he'd been under the influence of drugs, his erratic behavior likely a result of a combination of exhaustion and whatever substances he'd been using. He hadn't been trying to scare me, at least not intentionally, but knowing that didn't make it any less horrifying. It only underscored the danger of being out there, alone on the road, at the mercy of a stranger's unpredictable behavior. After that, I started doing whatever I can to be safer when I'm alone. I make sure to plan my route carefully, keep my phone fully charged, and avoid driving late at night whenever I can. And every time I see a pair of headlights in my rearview mirror, I can't help but remember that semi-truck and the relentless, terrifying pursuit on that empty highway. Now, even as someone who's used to traveling alone, I don't take chances anymore. It's a sobering reminder that while the road may seem empty, you're never truly alone out there, and sometimes the company you find is the last thing you'd want. I'm a paramedic, so helping people comes naturally to me. I'm trained to run toward the trouble, even if it's not always the safest option. Most days, I'm good at separating the job from my own life. But then there are times when that instinct to help can lead you right into something you weren't prepared for. And that's exactly what happened on one highway a few months back. I was on my way back from visiting my parents a couple of towns away. This wasn't a heavily traveled road, especially at night, and I'd only passed a couple of cars in the last hour. The night was calm, the kind where the hum of your own car feels like the loudest sound for miles around. It was nice. Peaceful, even. But then, as I rounded a bend, I noticed something up ahead that caught my attention right away. There was a car parked off to the side with its hood up, and as my headlights caught the scene, I saw a figure lying just a few feet away on the road. They were lying completely still, face down, right there in the glow of my headlights. I've already dealt with everything from minor scrapes to full-on highway disasters, so my first thought was to pull over and check if the person was okay. But then, as I slowed down, something kept pulling at my mind, a gut feeling that things weren't quite right. First off, there were no skid marks on the road. I know that's a small detail, but if the car had come to a sudden stop, you'd usually see at least a faint trace of rubber burned into the asphalt, and then there was the car itself. It was just too perfect. The way it was positioned, almost angled, but not quite blocking the road, like it was set there deliberately. I took my foot off the gas, considering my options. Every fiber of my training told me to get out and check on the person, but something in my gut told me to keep driving. And yet, despite my instincts, I pulled over. I couldn't just leave them lying there. Even if it was risky, I was a paramedic, and if there was even a small chance someone needed help, I knew I had to check. I got out, but I kept my headlights on and my door open, just in case. I walked toward the car, trying to stay alert to everything around me. The air was still, and all I could hear was the low hum of my car's engine. As I got closer, the scene became clearer under the headlights. The person on the ground wasn't moving at all, lying face down, arms sprawled awkwardly, like they'd been knocked out cold. I called out, "Hey, are you okay?" No response. I took another step, but that nagging feeling in my stomach grew stronger. I looked at the car again, trying to take it all in. The hood was up, but there was no smoke or steam coming from it. Usually, if a car had broken down recently, you'd see at least a bit of residual heat. But this car looked like it had been sitting there, untouched. And then, I noticed a slight blur of movement, just off to the side, a shadow in the dark, just beyond the reach of my headlights. My instincts kicked in, and I froze, listening. Footsteps. They were coming from my right, close to where the roadside brush thickened. Before I could react, I heard more footsteps, this time from my left. I didn't need to look to know I was surrounded. In that moment, I realized I'd walked right into a trap. All right, stay calm, I thought, backing up slowly, trying to put some distance between myself and the figure on the ground. But before I could make it back to my car, three men stepped out from the shadows, surrounding me. They each had something in their hands, pipes maybe, or crowbars. It was hard to tell in the dim light, but either way, I knew they meant business. One of them, the tallest of the three, stepped forward with a smirk. "Wallet? Keys? Anything you got on you?" My heart was pounding, but I knew better than to argue. I slowly reached into my pocket, pulling out my wallet and tossing it to him. They wanted my keys, too, and while it stung to hand over my car, I wasn't about to risk my life over it. One of the guys got in my car and revved the engine, clearly ready to leave with my ride and my money. And then, just when I thought I was out of luck, the guy in the driver's seat noticed my phone. He looked at it, then looked at me, and tossed it onto the pavement with a twisted grin. "Wouldn't want you stranded out here now, would we?" he said mockingly. I took a step back as they sped off, headlights disappearing down the road. There I was, stranded in the middle of nowhere, with only my phone, no wallet, no car, and the realization that I'd walked straight into a potentially deadly situation. I was angry at myself for stopping, for letting my training override my instincts, but I was also grateful that for whatever reason they'd left me with my phone. It took me a few minutes to pull myself together enough to call the police. They arrived quickly, considering how remote the area was, and took my statement. One of the officers told me that they'd received a few reports about similar incidents in the area lately. Turns out, this wasn't just a random attack. It was part of a string of robberies where the criminals preyed on people's compassion, staging fake accidents to lure them in. The police offered me a ride home, but the entire drive back, my mind was replaying everything that had happened. I kept thinking about those subtle clues, the ones that should have tipped me off, the lack of skid marks, the stillness of the car, the eerie quiet. In my line of work, you see so many genuine accidents that sometimes you forget to watch out for the fakes. In the end, I was shaken but unharmed. My car was eventually found abandoned a few miles down the road, stripped of anything valuable. I got my car back, and the police assured me they were stepping up patrols to catch the group responsible, but that experience has stayed with me. Now, every time I see a car pulled over on the side of the road, I find myself hesitating, questioning my instincts. I've always believed in helping people, that it's my duty as a paramedic to assist anyone in need. But that night taught me a tough lesson, that not everyone has good intentions, and sometimes the best thing you can do is listen to that little voice inside that says, something's not right. If these highway horror stories made you double check your rearview mirror, hit that like button and subscribe for more real life scares. Which story gave you the biggest chills? Drop it in the comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And hey, share this video with a friend who loves the thrill of the open road. They might think twice next time. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.